WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. So honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Man, oh man, do we have a show in store for you throughout this hour. On today's Current Sports, we will chat with former Michigan State men's basketball player from 02 to 06, and of course, former NBA baller for the Dallas Mavericks, New Jersey Nets, and Minnesota Timberwolves, Mo Agger. That's right, Maurice Agger will join us on the later part of the show. Maurice will talk about his time here at Michigan State, of course, and in the association, and he will also hit on his blossoming, and I do mean blossoming, music career. You don't want to miss this chat, folks. Also, of course, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers as they continue to roll on this remarkable streak of baseball, topping the Phillies yesterday. Also, new revelations concerning the death of former Michigan State football great Bubba Smith. Yeah, folks, you don't want to miss that chat either. And also on the back end of the show, we will have Tickle Tuesday for you, and a legend in the world of baseball will be inducted into the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame. Find out who that is and so much more. Of course, our phone lines are open. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of today's show, or you can simply go to facebook.com/currentsports and weigh in that way, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. But hey, you know what's about to ensue. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start our headliners with the 55th annual Dean Shippey Diamond Classic, which began yesterday at Cooley Law School Stadium, home of the Lansing Lugnuts. Now, before the first game, the event paid homage to its founder. Yeah, that's right, Dean Shippey passed away last month, sadly. And in the first game, Travis Moyer struck out 10 to help Portland St. Patrick to a 7-1 victory over Bath. St. Patrick advances to face the defending Classic champion, who has ensued dominance in this tourney for quite some time now. Division 1, number 10-ranked Grand Ledge in a quarterfinal matchup that will take place at 5:30 p.m. Thursday at Kircher Municipal Park. St. John's got contributions from all over its lineup as it opened the Diamond Classic with a 12-2 five-inning mercy rule dub over Fowlerville, a rematch of last year's semifinal. The Red Wings had 14 hits in the win, which sends them into Thursday's quarterfinal against Holt at Kircher Municipal Park. Bubba Smith, former Michigan State football great and, of course, NFL Pro Bowl defensive end, who transitioned to acting after his NFL career. He suffered with the debilitating brain disease, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, better known as CTE, when he died. Researchers announced that news today. Researchers at the VABUCLF Brain Bank said Smith had stage 3 CTE. Stage 4 is the most advanced. At the time of his death, at the age of 66 years old in 2011, Smith was the 90th. Yes, the 90th former NFL player out of the 94 brains studied where CTE, was detected. We'll have more on that story in just a second. Don't go anywhere. The Michigan State men's basketball team reportedly will travel to Duke for the Big Ten ACC Challenge this season. That's according to CBSSports.com's John Rothstein. Now, it is the fourth time the two schools met, and the fourth time the two schools will meet, I should say, in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, with Duke winning in 2003-04 in East Lansing, and 04-05, 2010-2011 in Durham, North Carolina, so Michigan State seeking out a win there. Rothstein also reported that U of M will host Virginia Tech in this year's ACC Big Ten Challenge. The challenge is usually held the first 3 days following Thanksgiving weekend. The NBA elected not to suspend Golden State Warriors and former Michigan State hoop star Draymond Green for his kick to the groin area of Oklahoma City Thunder center Steven Adams in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals on Sunday night. Now, Green's foul was upgraded from a flagrant foul 1 to a flagrant foul 2 with a $25,000 fine attached, but the league has decided not to issue a suspension. Michigan State Spartan turned Detroit Tiger great Kirk Gibson. That's right, the great Kirk Gibson, folks. And the Homer High School dynasty of 2003 to 2006 will comprise the 2016 class of the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame announced that news on Thursday. Now, Gibson and the members of the Homer Trojans, led by baseball coach Scott Salo, will be inducted on Saturday, June 25th. Again, mark your calendar. Saturday, June 25th, prior to the Lansing Lugnuts versus West Michigan Whitecaps game at Cooley Law School Stadium. Current Sports will be in the house for that one for sure. All right, on tonight, the Detroit Tigers and Philadelphia Phillies combined for 6 solo home runs. That's a lot of homers, folks. 2 of them from Miguel Cabrera. Detroit pulled ahead on a Victor Martinez 7th inning single that scored Cabrera for a 5-4 dub Monday at Comerica Park. The Tigers' 7th win in 8 games move them back to 500. That's right, the Tigers are 22-22, 500 for the first time since May 6th. Justin Verlander, JV, who is 3-4 on the year with a 4.58 ERA, takes the mound in the middle game of the series, looking to extend his May string of deep quality starts. Now, JV has allowed 4 runs on 13 hits over 22 1/3 innings of work in his last 3 starts, striking out 27 batters. Crazy story here, folks. Get this. A player's father entered the field during a youth soccer match and assaulted a 16-year-old. Yes, 16-year-old referee Saturday in Northville Township right here in Michigan. The referee had called a foul on a player before the man, who was 41 years old, approached him. And they exchanged words, the police said. The man, quote, allegedly shoved and threw a cup at, end quote, the boy, and the game was immediately ended, according to a news release from Northville Township Police Department. Are you kidding me, folks? We'll have more on that. Don't go anywhere. And also, an update on the French Open concerning the world's top tennis players on the men's side. World number 1, Novak Djokovic, Joker, got his bid for a first French Open title off to a flying start with a 6-4, 6-1, 6-1 win over Taiwan's Liu Yin-sun. 9-time champion Rafael Nadal stormed into the second round with a 6-1, 6-1, 6-1 mauling of Australia's Sam Groth. And second seed Andy Murray completed his recovery from a 2-set deficit against Czech veteran Radik Stepanek to advance to the second round. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, we are taking comments at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me via Twitter at AlMartinWKAR. And if you're not tweeting me, at least follow me, all right? I'm trying to hit 2K, all right? Let's do it. Without further ado, let's start the show.
To the basket, goes at Biombo! Oh, what a block from Biombo! Thompson shot block, Love, Banker won't go! Rebound, Scullin, Bismack Biombo at the rim!
Crowd acknowledging the play. I don't know if you heard, Kevin Love, but nobody beats the Biz.
A finger wag
and salute to his hero, Dikembe Mutombo, who gave him permission.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, we are absolutely thrilled that we are entering your ears right now. Man, it's a beautiful day. Tuesday, the birds are chirping. Sun is shining. It is gorgeous here in mid-Michigan, at least. And I tell you what, there's a lot of smiling faces out in Toronto, Canada. My goodness, folks. Just what a moment. What a moment right now for the Toronto Raptors fan base. What a moment for the country of Canada. This is now a series. That's right. The Cleveland Cavaliers and Toronto Raptors are now tied in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals in a string of two games that no one saw coming. I know I sure didn't, folks. It seemed as though Cleveland, when they pulled out that 2-0 series lead, all I heard from everyone was that the Cleveland Cavaliers were going to sweep or at most go 5 games against the Raptors, cruise into the NBA Finals, and then get it on with the Golden State Warriors. But man, oh man, do not sleep on the Raptors. Do not sleep on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we have two intriguing series in both respective conference finals matchups. Folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. You know, I was sitting back watching that game, and it's an interesting dynamic right now in the world of sports, in my opinion, because, you know, with the NBA going on right now and in the playoffs taking place, you know, I sat back and, of course, I watched the aftermath. You guys know I'm a big NBA guy, so I watched the aftermath of what took place out in Toronto. I watched the post-game report, ESPN's. I think it was John Buchengross was out there, and I think Stan Verrett, they were both out there for the Stan Verrett actually wasn't the other anchor. I know Bucci was out there, but I don't know. Anyway, SportsCenter went live right in Toronto on the hardwood for SportsCenter, and they had extensive post-game coverage on that game. Of course, they channeled Stephen A. in from the SportsCenter studio, and he gave his thoughts on Toronto, now tying the series. Then, of course, they brought in Scott Van Pelt, and he had Carlos Boozer in studio to break down what took place as well. And after about, I want to say about 45 to 50 minutes into the SportsCenter broadcast, it wasn't until then that they started to talk about the NHL playoffs. And a big moment happened last night concerning the Tampa Bay Lightning, because right now the Tampa Bay Lightning folks are on the verge of joining really exclusive NHL playoff company. And all they have to do is just pull out another dub. And in game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, they have that opportunity to return to the Stanley Cup Finals for the second straight year. So, you know, you have the Tampa Bay Lightning on the verge of history, and it's barely getting talked about when it comes to the national pundits on ESPN and Fox Sports and so on and so forth. And last night, you have a very intriguing series taking place between the San Jose Sharks and the St. Louis Blues. San Jose, if you like offense, you liked what you saw last night as the Sharks now took a 3-2 series lead over the Blues in a 6-3 final last night. That was barely talked about. And again, as I mentioned on the flip side, you have this intriguing matchup between the Penguins and Lightning. And you know, it's hard. It's really hard for a team to repeat as cup champions. Actually, no team has done it since the Detroit Red Wings back in 1997 and 98. And before that, the Pittsburgh Penguins back in 1991 and 92. But with all the history taking place and all the intriguing matchups in the Stanley Cup Finals, no one is talking about it. No one. They dedicated it. Like, I want to say like 5 to 7 minutes of it last night on ESPN SportsCenter where they bring in, you know, Barry Melrose for like 2 seconds, and he just calls the highlights and then chucks up the deuces. It's really amazing to me because hockey has become a niche sport here in America, folks. It certainly has. And the reason why I draw this line is because hockey is Canada's sport, okay? But now the NBA has trumped that interest because they have a team in the Toronto Raptors going further than they've ever gone in franchise history and giving LeBron James and company a run for its money. So I'm calling out. I'm calling out the hockey fans. I'm calling out our hockey listeners on today's show, those who have been glued to their respective televisions, watching the Stanley Cup playoffs and feeling slighted that those on ESPN, those on Fox Sports, those on the national scheme of sports who aren't giving, yet again, another year of this. This isn't new here, but, you know, those that feel like the NHL is slighted every single year due to the NBA playoffs taking place right now. I want to hear from you hockey fans. I want to get your thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs, on who you think is going to go all the way, and on the issue that is the popularity of the NHL. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, but you have to give all the credit in the world to what the Toronto Raptors are doing right now, folks. I was watching that game, and as the fourth quarter started, I sat there and watched a very dismal, a very porous Toronto Raptors defense give up bucket after bucket after bucket. Halfway through, the six-minute mark hit in the fourth quarter, and the Cleveland Cavaliers had not missed a shot that entire quarter. And it was amazing because with that being said, the score was still very, very close. And you have to give a ton of credit to the big three out in Toronto right now. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and of course, Bismack Biyombo. Biyombo more so, folks, because he was the heart and soul. He is the heart and soul of that team. And, you know, it's funny because I tweeted out last night, Biyombo is a guy who's not getting paid a lot in the NBA. But he is certainly, with every rebound and every bucket and every block shot, every defensive stop, Bismack Biyombo is raising. He's just metaphorically putting money in the bank with each and every moment, folks. Because they are certainly going to pay him after this season. You better believe that. He was absolutely just fantastic. Fantastic last night. And again, this was a you know, resiliency was the word of the night for the Toronto Raptors because they answered every bucket, you know, every LeBron James layup, every Channing Frye three-pointer. The Raptors would come down, either get fouled and go to the line, or DeMar DeRozan would have a pull-up jumper from mid-range, or Kyle Lowry would drive to the bucket and throw up a floater off the glass. We saw Joseph. How about that floater over, you know, that Joseph had over the reach of LeBron James last night? I mean, this was a team that was so resilient and a team now that has taken the last two games in this series. The dialogue has totally shifted right now because, okay, now you go out to Cleveland, right? You still have all the momentum in the world because you've taken the last two games. Let's say Toronto wins that game and they take a 3-2 series lead. The pressure goes on Cleveland to have to win a game six in Toronto, in a hostile environment. I mean, you guys see the images outside of the arena, the images inside of the arena where everybody's absolutely losing their mind. Man, that crowd is certainly a 12th man for the Toronto Raptors, folks. So the pressure is on the shoulders of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and Tyronn Lue, and I didn't really understand the whole situation. And now I understand you want to ride the hot hand, okay? And Channing Frye certainly got hot. He started to sizzle. He couldn't miss from deep. But when that started to teeter off, as that fourth quarter went on, you got to have your big three in there. You have to, folks. Throw Kevin Love in there. You know, that was an urgent moment in the game. And I thought Tyronn Lue got outcoached in that fourth quarter, folks. And again, big credit to the big three of Toronto, you know. After the Cavaliers, you know, crazy statistics here. After the Cavaliers shot just 3 of 22 from three-point range in the first half, they converted 6 of 8 from downtown in the third, and again, made their first 11 shots in the fourth. But, you know, the Raptors wouldn't go away. The Raptors would not go away. Look at that Kyle Lowry's numbers. After combining for just 18 points in game 1 and 2, his shooting struggles were very well documented to start this series. Lowry scored 20 in game 3 and 35 more in game 4, enabling the Raptors to knot this whole thing up. He scored 15 of his 35 points in the second quarter. And the Raptors led by as many as 18 early in the second half before nearly suffering that collapse. But resiliency, thy name is Toronto, folks. And now Drizzy Drake and company are smiling from ear to ear. That's going to be a fun series, man. That's going to be a fun series. The next three games are going to be very – I hope it goes to a game 7. Now, it becomes a best-of-three series now with the series tied. Who can pull out 2 more games and finish this whole thing? Again, the Cavaliers are certainly still the favorite here, but man, oh man, did many people sleep on the Toronto Raptors. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I also have to address the startling news concerning the great Bubba Smith, Michigan State football great, as it was announced today. This is hot off the press, folks, that Bubba Smith, his brain was examined, and a conclusion has been drawn now that he suffered with the debilitating brain disease entitled chronic traumatic encephalopathy when he died. Of course, he died. He was 66 years old in 2011. That's when he passed away. And what's so crazy when looking at this is that Smith, again, was the 90th former NFL player out of 94 brains studied where CTE was detected. Those numbers are mind-boggling. And I couldn't help, but when I read that today, I couldn't help but think about the most recent conversation that I had with Darian Harris. Darian Harris, of course, he's right now out in Cincinnati. I follow Darian on Snapchat. He's out in Cincinnati right now. Of course, Darian was a captain for the Michigan State football team this past year. Had a great, great career. Went undrafted, but again, undrafted, you know, rookie, free agent with the Cincinnati Bengals right now, who's about to embark on OTAs with the Bengals, rooting for Darian to make the squad. But we had Darian on the show. He's a former intern with us. We had Darian on the show recently, and I remember asking Darian about whether or not he's nervous when he looks at the former greats who have played the game of football on the gridiron, who are now struggling with memory loss, who are struggling with emotional hurdles, and those who have passed away and have you know, attributed their brain to research in this area for CTE, and how many of them have had their brains examined, and it's come to find, you know, it's been found that they have CTE, some stage of CTE. Stage 4 is the most advanced. Bubba Smith had stage 3, and I asked Darian, does that scare you at all? And I could see when Darian answered the question, he did a great job of answering. He hesitated a bit, but he went on to say, you know what? I'm not worried because of the education that we are steadily having about the topic when it comes to educating our youth, specifically our youth. You know, I feel for those kids when I drive by in the city of Detroit and I see those Pal League games going on and I see little kids with a helmet and pads on. I'm sitting there saying, all right, man. I really hope that the coaches are doing their due diligence and enacting the Head Start program to show kids how to tackle right. And that's what Darian talked about. You know, he believes that the education when it comes to that subject is advancing by the day. The equipment is becoming better and better. And, you know, he's not worried. Darian isn't worried. But I don't know how you cannot be worried if you are a current player. If you are a former player who is just now finding about the situation of CTE and how it can affect you, and if you are a parent of a player, how you can't be a bit nervous. I know I sure am. If I happen to have a little Al, man, oh, man, I'm going to have a long talk with my little one about whether or not he wants to get out there and play the game, because it is scary stuff. So, again, that news was announced today that Bubba Smith, former MSU football great and NFL Pro Bowler who went on to have a great acting career. They have done research on his brain. He passed away in 2011, and that research comes to the conclusion that Bubba Smith did have stage 3 CTE. Crazy stuff. All right, before we hit our first break, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, yeah, a lot to catch up on. First off, I do want to commend the Toronto Raptors for their incredible, and this is a comeback that nobody expected ever to happen. I thought after the first two blowouts, if you can even call them games, I thought Toronto would be swept. Or gentlemen swept it, which is, you know, five games, giving them one just to make them feel better. But, wow, Kyle Lowry's been the difference, though. He started off this playoffs after 100 shots, registering at 30.6 field goal percentage. That was the lowest in 50 years. And now, you look at him, he's the reason they're winning. And DeMar DeRozan's been great, don't get me wrong, but it's Kyle Lowry, it's Bismack Biyombo, and it's DeMar DeRozan. I think if you're Toronto, you've got to stick with that ship, that core group of guys, and let them ride you all the way to the finals if they can. But going on to Bubba Smith, and I've got nothing but respect for families and deceased football players who, before their death, allow scientists to put them under the needle posthumously and examine their brains, because this is important research that needs to be done. And as you can see from this, it always helps when we find out. We know the true extent of the dangers. We know possibly where in the brain that the most damage is received, that needs the most padding, that needs the most help with helmets. And I'm with you. I think that to not be worried as a parent or a player, I can understand it. But at the same time, there is reason for concern when looking at the game of football. It is dangerous. It is harmful. And I heard a really interesting theory about it. But I wonder if football doesn't continue. I don't think it'll fall off in popularity because it is the most fun game to watch in America.
NFL runs the USA.
Exactly.
It does.
But
yeah.
I wonder if it becomes a gladiator sport where we see a lot of maybe the bottom tier fall out of football and we see just the best go at it, the best who use it as a way to advance themselves up the social ladder. I wonder if that's what football becomes. And if that was the case, I don't think it would be less competitive, but it would be less of a pickup game.
Well, that's an interesting component that you bring up, Isaac, because, you know, football in urban communities, for those that grow up in you know, just really tough circumstances, if they, you know, if you see a kid who's just so good at the game, it's really hard to cage that talent and say, you know what, man, if you play the game, though, this may happen to you down the road. It's really hard to cage talent. And it would be very tough for me if I had a son and I see that he's got speed, he's got agility, you know, he's just got a natural knack for the game. It will be very hard for me to say, son, I don't want you playing. This is why. If he didn't want to play, because I would educate him and say, hey, this is what has happened to former athletes. Do you want to go down that road? I would educate him, and then I probably would let him make his own decision, because I'm not big on caging talent, you know what I mean? I'm not big on just tying a kid down. You know, that kid has to make his own decision at the end of the day. So, but as a parent, you're a bit uneasy when really evaluating this subject. And I encourage our listeners out there, if you didn't get a chance to catch Current Sports TV back in April of this year, I got a chance to sit down with Michigan State University chemistry professor Gary Blanchard, who has teamed up with fellow professor Marcos Dantas and the MSU football team during spring practice leading up to the spring game, of course. And he joined me to discuss how the research was approved, a breakdown of the technology. That's really cool stuff, of the technology used in the experiment, in which, you know, they had these headbands that were placed inside of the helmets of Michigan State football players throughout spring drill, spring practice, leading up to the spring game. And you know, Blanchard and Dantas, they teamed up with the training staff of the Michigan State football team to do some research on just how certain impacts throughout a football game can affect the brain potentially. And, you know, I talked to Gary not too long ago, and you know, because we had Gary on right in the midst of spring practice, so they were still conducting their research. But we're going to have Gary on very soon, and Marcos, to sort of talk about what they found. But, you know, it's a really scary topic, folks, and one that we've had countless times here on our airwaves. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting via phone. He's out in Los Angeles, California. His name is Maurice Ager, former Michigan State men's basketball player from 02 to 06. And also, he played in the National Basketball Association for the Dallas Mavericks, New Jersey Nets, and Minnesota Timberwolves. He's now a music producer and rapper as well. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
My Detroit players. Cause I've been grinding all day. I came a long way from them Crockett hallways. Northland Mar days. Where goons catch bodies over shades we call yays.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That's the voice of Maurice Ager. Of course, former professional basketball player. He played collegiately right here at Michigan State from 02 to 06. He's a 6'5 guard, best known for, of course, balling out with the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA and New Jersey Nets. And, folks, he has gone on to have a pretty successful music career. He has produced not only for himself, but for artists such as Royce da 5'9", shout out to D-Town, E-40, Lazy Bone, Major Williams, and so many more, folks. And, of course, one of Ager's most popular works is his single Forever I'm a Spartan, released as an anthem for the Michigan State University football team back in 2010. I was actually a sophomore here at Michigan State when that song came out, Isaac, and I remember that song very vividly. I even remember when they put that song at a football game on the Jumbotron at Spartan Stadium, and everybody just got hyped. Everybody lost their respective minds. And the tune you just rolled in, Isaac, I believe is one of Mo's hits, Stink Pink Gators, right?
Yeah, correct. It's the song that he plays automatically when you reach his website. So
nice.
Really good flow, too. I got to commend him for that.
Yeah, he's very, very impressive flow. And from the lyrics I just heard in that song, it looks like he's talking about D-Town. Of course, yep. Mo is from Detroit, so I definitely know about Northland Mall. Rest in peace, Northland Mall. Man, I used to go there all the time when I was younger. But we have him on the phone right now, Mo Ager, former MSU men's hoop great, also baller in the NBA, and he is now an acclaimed musical artist and producer. Mo, how you doing? Thanks so much for your time.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot, guys, man. I appreciate the the warm intro.
You got
it. Playing one of my old songs from 2012, Pink Pink Gators, man. That's that brought back memories, man.
Definitely had a flashback then, huh, Mo?
Yeah. We've grown a lot since then.
Definitely, man. Well, I first off want to start, Mo, by talking about your musical career. We'll get to what you did in the hardwood in just a second. But first off, Maurice, when did your interest peak in the world of music?
That happened early, man. When I was 5-6 years old, you know, like I said, like music was always in my blood. You know, my mom, she was a musician. My dad was a musician. So it was just always something that always caught my eye, you know. I always had fun playing, you know, with the keyboards and writing lyrics and stuff like that. You know, basketball pretty much came along a little bit later, you know, I want to say around 7 to 8 years old. But, I just love the culture, man. I love the sounds. I always love the message. I love the emotion in music. I love how it made me feel.
So it sounded like it was already in your DNA with your mom and pops definitely diving into that realm. I mean, what kind of music are we talking about when it comes to your parents?
My mom, she did a little singing. You know, my dad, he was in a band.
That's very cool stuff. Now, for you, Mo, I mean, who are some of your biggest musical influences?
I like to say people like Marvin Gaye, all the way to people like Dr. Dre, Eminem. Early on, Royce da 5'9", those guys were huge. Snoop, Dogg Pound, the Motown era. you know, Anita Baker's. Hey, man, the list goes on, man. So many. You know, we'd be on the phone all day just naming all the people that I love musically. But, you know, I mean, I love all the greats, man, to be completely honest with you.
Definitely. And, you know, of course, with the recent news, the unfortunate news of one of the greatest artists of all time, Prince, passing. Does Prince have any musical influence on you as well?
Yeah, man. You know, it's, honestly, you know, I sampled Prince music quite a few times in some of my beats. You know, a lot of people wouldn't have recognized it unless they unless they're familiar with Prince. But yeah, I mean, it was a major blow. But you know, all in all, man, his spirit, his music, his energy will continue to move on and live on forever. You know,
that is very, very, very true, Mo. Now, again, as an accomplished music producer, you were considered for the 56th annual Grammy Awards for your song Far From Home. Mo, I gotta know, man. I mean, we're talking about a Grammy, okay? That's like the creme de la creme of awards in the music industry. How did you get the call that you were nominated, and what was your reaction?
Man, you know, it was a major blessing. It actually came a couple of days after homecoming weekend over at Michigan State. I flew back to Los Angeles, and I did a basketball camp at a basketball camp, and then one of my friends called me and told us that, you know, one of our songs were nominated for a Grammy, along with another record that I produced off of his EP. So, I mean, it was awesome, man. It was something that I've always wanted to accomplish, you know, and obviously, you know, I want to win one. It's almost like when you're in high school, you know, the honorable mention, you're a sophomore or something, you know, you play well enough to be recognized, but, you know, eventually you want to become an all-stater and eventually an all-American. So that's kind of why I'm at with it, you know. I got some recognition, but, you know, eventually we won't win one, you know.
Yeah, definitely. What was with the nomination, though, that's still very impressive, Maurice. Was that kind of an I'm here moment for you?
Man, it was a blessing, man. It just lets me know that I made the right choice, you know, taking a leap of faith, leaving the NBA at 26. You know, to follow after something that I felt in my heart was something that I really wanted to do. I believe it was an inspiration not only for myself, but it was an inspiration for others to, you know, not only, you know, trust yourself, but trust your goals, trust your vision. And, yeah, I believe that was a reward for me for taking that leap of faith.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Maurice Ager, former Michigan State men's basketball player from 02 to 06, an NBA baller for the Dallas Mavericks, New Jersey Nets, and Minnesota Timberwolves, who is now having a very successful musical career as a producer and also as an artist. Mo, what do you like better, rhyming or producing?
Honestly, just the whole production process. You know, I don't necessarily separate the two any longer. You know, I feel like, you know, production itself is, you know, music, you know, the writing process. There's times where, you know, I'm not rapping the songs. There's times where I might just get a hook. There's times where I'm just writing the beat. You know, I'm in love with the overall process of producing a record. So I can't say one or the other, but, you know, if all fails, you know, I mean, production will be the one that I can do forever. You know, rapping, you know, you can, you know, nobody wants to rap at 60, but I can always produce records when I'm 60, 65 years old, you know?
Right, very true. Now, who's the favorite artist you've worked with thus far?
My favorite artist, I would have to say Royce da 5'9", man. You know, I grew up a huge Royce fan. You know, I grew up in an era where, you know, Bad Meets Evil was huge, when, you know, Eminem and Royce were, you know, really on top of their game. And, it was a pleasure for Royce to actually hop on to one of my beats. The song actually hasn't been released yet. You know, hopefully it's going to be released pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I'm putting together some things to make sure that record gets out, whether it's a mixtape record or just, it needs to get out there. But, Lazy Bone was one of them. You know, I grew up a Bone Thugs and Homie fan, you know, my whole life. You know, when I was in middle school, you know, we used to act like Bone Thugs and Homie. I used to act like I was Lazy Bone. So I actually get a record with him. Yeah, it was a blessing, man, and, you know, and actually meet him, you know, he's a really, really cool dude, and yes.
That's too cool, and I know Royce, I'm a big Royce guy as well, Maurice, and I tell you what, I cannot stop listening to his new album, Layers, which is very impressive stuff. It just has a different sound than Royce's, you know, his previous works, and I'm pretty sure you guys had an instant connection with Royce being from Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, that has a lot to do with it, you know, and I heard on his new album, you know, I heard his new album is really amazing, And, you know, I have to commend him because I believe this is his first, one of his first major projects, you know, being sober. You know, I think he's maybe 4 years sober or something like that. So I feel like, you know, just I saw a Breakfast Club interview and he was just talking about his sobriety and how important it plays in his creative process going into his album. And I think that's huge for anyone to actually beat, you know, alcoholism and still be great because a lot of artists, you know, they rely on, you know, marijuana and alcohol in order to create it. So for him to actually prove that to himself that he can be great without it, man, that's huge, man. That goes farther than, you know, just the music itself.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, Mo, last question as far as the music, your music realm goes. I got to know, because Isaac and I, we have this debate. We've had this debate multiple times. And I got to know, in your opinion, who do you think is the best hip-hop artist in the game on May 24th, 2016?
The best? I'll have to say it's a toss-up between J. Cole and Kendrick.
Definitely. Yep. That's who we go back and forth with all the time as well.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And looking at what Kendrick, I mean, Kendrick came one Grammy nomination short of actually tying Michael Jackson's all-time record of 12 this past year. So, very cool stuff. For me, I go Kendrick. I think, what do you go with, Isaac?
I go Kendrick. I think Kendrick's the better comprehensive artist, but my style more suits J. Cole. But, Mo, I also got to ask you real quick. Did you sample on Stink Pink Gators? Was that Get By that I heard? I knew I recognized it. Get By by Talib Kweli.
You said, what's it what?
Get By Talib Kweli.
No, I actually played those keys out.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Boom. That
sounded like that. Even better. All right.
Yeah, I played those out. Yeah. That's dope, though. Now that I think about it, it does kind of sound like
it. Yeah, it does.
I didn't notice that until you just pointed that out as well, Isaac. All right. Well, Mo, before we get you out of here, man, you know your basketball career, as you just mentioned, I mean, you decided to leave it at the age of 26 and go pursue music full time. You know, for you, I mean, looking back at your basketball career, how much do you miss the game?
I don't necessarily. Well, I miss the game itself. I don't necessarily miss what came with the game. As far as the basketball, you know, I miss. You know, but I played basketball so much in my life, man. It's just, I just felt like it was time for me to move on. But I mean, even on that note, I'm actually playing in the Champions League this summer. You know, it's a basketball league for NBA players. 4-year players that's been up the league for 3+ years. And it's just an opportunity just to play, you know, and without all of the politics and the hoopla and family members, the friends, and all of the BS that pretty much comes with being a star athlete. I'm going to really enjoy just playing ball this summer and just to play for the love again, you know. And, you know, for me, you know, I didn't necessarily like the politics of it, and that has a lot to do with it. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the NBA, you know, I miss the players, I miss the guys, you know, I just miss the, you know, the interaction, you know, the locker room, you know, being around other confident individuals. Yeah.
And you know what, Mo, when you know, looking at your time here at Michigan State, of course, you know, hopping in the time machine briefly, in 2005, Ager was the top scorer for Michigan State. That team reached the Final Four by defeating the Kentucky Wildcats in a classic double overtime game in the Elite Eight. And you were also named to the Austin All-Regional team after averaging 16.8 points and 5 boards a game. And you scored 24 against North Carolina in the Final Four. Now, from there, Mo, you went and played for the Mavericks. Then you went to the NBDL. Where you played for the Fort Worth Flyers, then the Tulsa 66ers, then the Nets. You even went overseas to Spain. You just hit on a word that goes right into my next question. You mentioned the politics. And I hear that a lot when it comes to former NBA basketball players. Most recently, I had a conversation with Morris Peterson about this. How political is it? You know, if you can summarize it, how political is the game when you do start doing this whole hoop thing professionally?
It's a numbers game, and it is a business. And it's just that, you know, it can boil down to numbers. It can boil down to a player making more money. It can boil down to a player that's been there a lot longer. I mean, it can boil down to a player that's, you know, liked more by the GM. Might not necessarily be as productive as you, but, you know, they might like him more. You know, it is what it is, man. Some of it's personal, some of it is business, but for the most part, man, ultimately, you know, I think anything that we do in our life, if we love doing it, we'll do it for free. And, you know, with music, for me, I do it for free. I will go out and play basketball for free. Mm-hmm. And once you, you know, mix business with it, you know, it can become a bit tricky for some of us. So it is difficult for people that just really love the game and want to be treated fairly at times. And that's just not the case. You know, once you get money involved and you know, and in contracts, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Maurice, can you, throughout your career, are there any examples that really summarize and put in perspective just how political it is at that level?
You said it.
Any specific examples that come to mind, you know, throughout your career that you saw firsthand that put the politics of the game in perspective?
That was plenty of times. I mean, obviously, I'll give you one example. I just remember, my first NBA start was against the Golden State Warriors, and I had 20 points. Came out, started the game, played really well, in my opinion. Had 20. So I'm like, okay, this is good momentum for me. And I didn't play for the next 4 or 5, 6 games. Honestly, I didn't even dress. So it's just, I feel like that's an example. You know, I feel like that could have been a good opportunity for me. That's great confidence. It could have, you know, gained momentum for me going into the next year. It could have done so many things for me, but it didn't happen that way. So, I mean, that's the only example that I can think of off the top right now. I mean, it's plenty of them, but that's just one.
Definitely. Folks, again, Maurice Ager, former Michigan State men's basketball player from 02 to 06, and also had a great NBA career with the Dallas Mavericks, New Jersey Nets, and Minnesota Timberwolves. How close are you still, Mo, with the Michigan State men's basketball team?
I'm pretty close. You know, I watch, and I'm always supportive. You know, obviously, I live in Los Angeles, California, so I don't get back as much. But, man, I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of Denzel. I'm proud of what Izzo's been able to accomplish. And I will always love for what Michigan State has done for me, not only on the court but off the court. I had an amazing time at Michigan State. I will always, always, forever be a Spartan. So I'm always close, you know, as far as being hands-on and always there every year. I'm not there at this point right now. You know, I'm just really focused on building my career, my brand. You know, I have a basketball and wrestling program that I created 2 years ago. You know, we just had our 2-year anniversary, and it's doing really well. You know, of course, I have the music production company. You know, I'm really working on my speaking business. I've been speaking all over the world, including other countries. So, I mean, you know what? You know, the years that I put in Michigan State, now I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. But now, in this phase of my life, I'm really putting my my energy into what I'm doing now. You know, and that's very important for me to actually, you know, hone in on, you know, my businesses now, you know.
Yes, and Mo, you are doing a great job, my friend. And one last question. As you know, Denzel Valentine, you know, he had a great senior season as a player here with the Michigan State men's basketball program. And Deontay Davis, big man for Michigan State. After his freshman year, he decided to go one and done and put his name in the hat for the NBA draft. I want to know, a two-part question for you. How ready do you think Valentine and Davis are for the next level, seeing as though you've played at that level? And also, you know, when it comes to, you know, just overall advice that you would give to Valentine and Davis, what would you say to them as they make that leap?
Honestly, I mean, just take good care of yourself. Take really good care of yourself. I feel like, you know, my time in the NBA, and when I came out, you know, I feel like I put so much work into it. You know, I celebrate, you know, in that time I celebrate too much. So for them, you know, just, you know, for one thing, just stay focused, you know, do whatever they have to do to, you know, to understand, you know, there's a time and place for everything. You just got to take good care of yourself off the court, because there's a lot to come with being a professional basketball player. You know, you have a lot of distractions, you have a lot of things going on, and you wait your whole life to get to a certain level. So you really want to, you know, have a good time, but, you know, you just have to know when to, you know, kind of taper it off and take care of your business, you know, focus in and, you know, continue to spiritually stay grounded. And I think they'll be fine. I think Denzel's going to make someone's team. Hopefully he's in the first round, man. I think he would be in the first round. He played himself into the first round. And he's going to be a great player for someone. And I think he's going to be a better NBA player than people expect him to be.
Fantastic advice, Maurice Ager. Maurice, how can people listen to your work, and what projects are you currently working on, my friend?
I'm actually in the process right now, just working on a new project. It's going really well. Have about 25 to 30 songs done, but we need some work, so it's early. So for right now, man, you can check out the Zona EP. You know, that's on iTunes. You know, it's doing really well for an independent album. You can check me out on Pandora. You know, just type in Lil Ager. The Zona EP or LP will pop up. Other than that, man, follow me on Twitter, man. My Twitter is MLEAGER, and I'm pretty responsive to people on Twitter. And also, you know, make sure you guys follow us on, well, visit my website, moeagerhoops.com. That's for my Mo Agger Hoops School. And hopefully we have some basketball camps out there in Michigan pretty soon. And, yeah, man, all is well.
Sounds great, and definitely keep us posted when those camps, if they do come to Michigan. I would definitely love to go out and meet you in person, Mo.
They will. You know, it's all in due time, brother.
You got it, my man. There you have it. Maurice Ager, former Michigan State men's basketball player from 02 to 06, NBA baller for the Mavs, Nets, and Timberwolves. Mo, you take care. Thanks for your time this afternoon. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting it with Tickle Tuesday. And also, a pretty big name is headed to the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Less than 10 minutes left in the show. Again, call in 517-355-9527. We just finished up a chat with former Michigan State hoop star Mo Ager, who has now turned himself into a pretty, pretty good musical artist, folks. Even nominated for a Grammy. How cool is that? Very, very cool. I want to remind you all that without help from caring listeners like you, WKAR would sound like any other station. Because of people like you, WKAR is different, better, smarter, extraordinary. Please help us continue to bring extraordinary programs to you and your community. Use the Give Now link at WKAR.org. We certainly appreciate all of the support from all of our listeners and viewers out there. Without you, this show don't go on, all right? All right, well, 5 minutes left in the show. It's Tuesday. We love to take really the edge off your week, break the monotony of the week up with a segment entitled Tickle Tuesday, where we look at the sports world and hit you with a few of the funniest moments. Here we go.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
All right, that's right. It is now time for Tickle Tuesday, folks. Isaac, I have two for you, all right? Now, after we get off the air, and I'm kind of sticking with our theme for today with Mo Ager being a hip-hop artist, and you mentioned how Dame Dalla, who is Damian Lillard, of course, guard for the Portland Trail Blazers, has some pretty cool rap skills. So what's the first thing I see when I wake up today and I'm doing research on Tickle Tuesday? It's that Common wants to work with Dame Dalla because he really believes, Common, one of my favorite hip-hop artists of all time, actually, the guy who had your spot before you took over, you know, Alex Shard. When we went out to cover the Rose Bowl, we saw Common in concert, one of the greatest rappers of all time. But he's so impressed with Damian Lillard's hip-hop skills that he wants to get in the studio with Damian Lillard.
Is he looking for talent scouts? Because I just said he had a nice flow myself. I like the lyrics. He's got very soulful content. Yeah, hey, Common, hit me up.
I hear that. Common, are you listening? If he's listening, that's just a milestone there if you listen to WKAR, right? Also, you appreciate this one as well, Isaac. I got one that talks about your boy Neymar, you know, in soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Neymar, soccer superstar, loves him some Neymar. and he couldn't take his eyes off his wax figure lookalike when it was revealed out in Spain yesterday. The Brazilian legend handpicked the pose for his Madame Tussauds wax figure, recreating his goal celebration from the 2014 World Cup, and in which he called, quote, the most important moment in my career. And get this, Neymar was so committed to making the statue look as authentic as possible that he even donated a real Brazilian national team uniform. And it's eerie. You know how those Madame Tussauds wax figures look so real, dude. Like, I thought Neymar had like a twin legit. When I look at the picture, I'm like, dude, is that, I can't tell which one was him. It's crazy stuff, man.
I'm sad to say too many soccer players do this. Cristiano Ronaldo had the exact same story maybe 2 months ago.
It's, really?
Come on, stop being so obsessed with how you look. Like, okay, I mean, you know a little bit that soccer players, they have the hairdos and all of that. They can be a little bit prima donna about the whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
But my Tickle Me Tuesday account would be actually a column, I suppose you could call it, a letter to the editor in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Drew Hill, the engineer of, or Drew Henderson, rather, audio producer here at Current Sports, Current State, WKAR, actually read this to me. But Packers' hard counts are ruining this game. A Packer hater and detractor basically said that Aaron Rodgers, by drawing defensemen offsides with his hard counts and his snap counts, was ruining the game of football and asked the Packers to stop their, quote, unprofessional play. It was funny.
Who wrote this?
Just some fan, a letter to the editor. And Aaron Rodgers put the guy on blast on Twitter, too. It was funny. It reminded me of so many of my friends who cannot stand Aaron Rodgers because they're Lions fans. But Aaron Rodgers, if you ask me, the guy hasn't stepped one foot, one toe, one pinky toe out of line.
That's pretty I mean, you know, fans are so unrealistic and drastic sometimes. It's like, come on, dude.
Oh, of course.
Chill out. Those are fantastic. If you have a funny moment that we might have missed, hey, folks, we encourage you all to go to facebook.com/currentsports and shoot it on our wall, and I'll be sure to read that on tomorrow's show. But I want to close it out by giving a big salute to Kirk Gibson. That's right. Kirk Gibson will be inducted into the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame later on this summer. Very fitting for a legend, folks, a local legend who went on with the Detroit Tigers and had a fantastic career. And thoughts and prayers out to Gibson and his family, because, of course, Gibson has had health issues for a while now. And so I'm really rooting for Kirk Gibson. I really hope I get a chance to meet him in person later on this summer. Also, the Detroit Tigers, salute to the Tigers. Miguel Cabrera, two homers, 36th multi-homer game of his career. The Tigers are back at the 500 mark for the first time since May 6th. After the 5-4 win over the Phillies yesterday, and Murphy almost gave that game away. Mark Lowe and Francisco Rodriguez each pitched scoreless innings. That bullpen was great. Francisco Rodriguez is his 13th consecutive save. Pretty impressive stuff. How about those Tigers, huh? Thanks so much for all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks to Mo Ager out there for joining us this afternoon. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow, folks. We'll see you then. And until then, be easy, people.